WFAN, WFAN FM, WFAN FM HD1 New York, and Odyssey Sports Station.
I lost my place.
It's the Pina Colada song. Is this Rupert Holmes? Is that who this is? Right?
Rupert Holmes.
The premise of this song bothers me. I mean, here's this guy, okay? If you don't know this song, you know this song, Jerry?
I do know this song, okay. Yes. What it's about, I have no idea.
Okay, so the premise of this song is this guy and his girlfriend or his wife, whatever she is, they're having issues, right? So the guy puts an ad in the paper, right, in the personal section, whatever, to try to meet some other woman, right? So he puts the ad in, and this woman responds, and they set it up that he's going to go meet the woman, right? He gets to the place, and who's the woman? His girlfriend. I mean, that would be... No, seriously. That's why this song bothers me. When I think of this song, I think I put myself in this position if this ever happened to me. So I'm having trouble with my girlfriend. Maybe I'm trying to get away from her, right? And I put this ad, not that I would ever put a personal ad in a paper, but nevertheless, I do that, right? And now I'm all pumped up, man. Oh, baby, I can't wait to meet this girl. I'm all excited, right? You got the adrenaline flowing, this new woman. I can't wait to see what she looks like, all of this, right? And then you walk in. Can you imagine the buzzkill?
By the way, that goes both ways, Joe.
No, I understand that, but I'm only looking at it from my point of view. Ugh. What do I care about the other side?
Well, you got something to talk about for a long time.
Am I right about that? Tell me I'm wrong when I say this.
Yeah, that would probably be very, both, as Jerry says, both disappointed.
Very much. And then the song ends that now they're all happily ever after. Right. This is wonderful.
He turns it into a positive.
Right.
Yeah, I didn't know we had so much
I
in
think
common.
If that was me.
Like each other.
If that was me, the chances are very good that I'm turning around and leaving. I mean, I got to tell you.
Well, I don't think you have to worry about getting away from the girlfriend at that point because it will be over.
Right, that's right.
So I think it's as opposed to the positive that he turned it into.
So I think that this song just, you know, that 90% of the time, it would end the way I'm saying it's ending. Hmm. Would you agree with this or no?
Yes.
Okay.
I
just want to know.
If two people that are in a relationship couldn't stand each other so much that they were putting personal ads in the paper to find somebody else and it turned out to be each other.
And now all of a sudden everything's great. Oh, we love Peter Collins and walks in the rain?
Yeah.
And I never knew? Come on.
I think that's not going to work out too well.
No.
Yeah, let's go out to dinner Friday night now that we figured out that we both don't like one another.
Right. And so they're obviously both looking for something else because one's placing the ad, one's looking at the ads.
My God. Unbelievable.
Anyhow.
Sorry, Rupert.
Just to clean something up from last hour, if I asked you right now, Al, how many no-hitters for the Houston Astros?
12.
Eddie?
I'm going to say 8.
Joe?
Well, I'm trying to think of the guys that threw them. Okay, so I got, you know,
I'll tell you this one.
Okay.
The first
Don
one.
Don Wilson?
Don Wilson did throw one. He threw the third one ever.
The third one ever?
The first one was 1963. So how many?
1960. Turk Farrell.
No, but how many do you think in total?
No, I'm
asking. It was Don, I can't see. Notebart?
Oh, Don Notebart. Yeah, I remember the name.
He threw the first one.
Okay, how many? Well, you got Ryan, you got Mike Scott, I know. Now you got Fran Bars throwing a couple. You mentioned Don Wilson. You mentioned this Notabot threw one. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to think of anybody else that I know.
J.R. Richard?
J.R. Richards. He throw one?
This also includes the combined ones they've had. There's a few of those.
Oh, yeah, they had a couple against the Yankees. They had at least two against the Yankees,
at Yankee Stadium, by the way.
They had two against the Yankees, right?
All right, so what do you think? Give me a number.
Wow. Double figures.
It is double figures.
I'm going to go 12 as well.
17.
17?
Last night was the 17th. And to clean something up from last
hour. How many does Ryan have in Houston? He's got 7.
Order here. Let's see here. So,
in Houston.
3 with California,
by the way,
at least.
I'm sorry. Last night was the 18th. Because it was not Valdez in April. It was Ronel Blanco.
Okay.
So, and Valdez has the 1 from last year, so it would not have been his 3rd. All right, Nolan Ryan, hold on, let's see here. Verlander threw 1 with the Astros.
Tigers.
1 in 2019. Then you've got, let's see, a combined one. You got Mike Fiers. And we get to Nolan Ryan, another combined one. There's the Mike Scott one in 86, Nolan Ryan in 81. That's it for Nolan Ryan with the Astros. I would have thought it was a couple. You got Durker, you got Forsh, you get your guy Don Wilson, a couple. Ken Johnson. We talked to Notobart, you mentioned. And then they've got, in terms of combined
no J.R. Richards.
Not that I've seen, no.
Okay.
Maybe I missed it. It's
no, okay, I'm not sure if he threw one, so I don't know.
I do not see one from him. Combined no-hitters. They got the 1-03 at Yankee Stadium, which, by the way, that was my claim to fame with the I Miss the Morning program, because Sid Rosenberg did not ever think that the Yankees had a no-hitter thrown against them at Yankee Stadium, and I called
it. I think Bob Feller definitely threw a no-hitter against him.
Whatever.
I think it was opening day in the late 40s. You can look that up.
So you got that one in 03, then the Aaron Sanchez and collection of relievers in 2019, a combined no-hitter, and then in 22, you had Christian Javier was part of two combined no-hitters in the same season.
So how many combined no-hitters they have? Three?
Three or four, whatever I just said. One, two, it looks like three. Four.
Wow.
Four combined no-hitters, 18 total.
Are that the all-time? Is that the record all-time for a team, 18 no-hitters? I wonder.
Did the Padres get one last year?
One.
They got the combined one, right?
I think the Padres have one.
And the Mets have a couple now. Because
Santana
you got the
and that one combined one against the Phillies.
So you're talking about franchises that have one and two. They, since 1963, have 18.
Unbelievable.
That is a huge, huge number. Jim in Jersey. What's up, Jim?
Jim, how are you?
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good. Morning.
Joey, you had it wrong in the Pina Colada song. The wife put the ad in the paper.
The wife
he
put
answered the ad.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Well, you listen to the lyrics, so imagine that.
So the guy was answering the ad that the wife put in the paper.
I see. Okay. I had it backwards.
Yeah, that's where he says, I'm nobody's poet. He's responding to her ad.
Okay.
Very interesting. Either way, neither is going to be happy when they get there.
No. It's a complete buzzkill.
What a mess.
Right. I mean, I'm telling you, I would be like, oh my God, you got to be kidding me. How did this happen?
Are you angry in that moment, or does like your heart sink? Like,
I'd be,
you know, that weird feeling when something bad happens?
You have this thing where the anticipation level to see the woman would be very high. Think about what I'm saying, right? Would you agree with this? Al, you with this too? Like,
yeah,
the anticipation, like, you're like, wow, I can't wait to see. I hope this girl's, like, you know, phenomenal, right? So, you got it. You're up here when you walk in. You're pumped up. You know, you're probably looking good.
I would think, yes.
Okay. So, you walk in. You're like, oh, your anticipation level's up here. I'm like, can't wait to see this girl. And here walks in your ex or whatever, you know, your girlfriend you're trying to get away from. I mean, come on. I mean, it would be like, whoa. Like, whoa.
Like, almost you're disgusted.
Oh,
like,
God.
You?
Oh, my God.
Did you think about Joe Beningo 30 years ago? Did you ever think we'd get to a point in society where you could pick out a date like it's multiple choice on an app?
Well, that's, you know, that's ahead of my
time. And I'm not saying
that's after my time.
It is, but I'm not saying it's a bad way to meet somebody. It actually is probably a really good way to meet
people. I know a lot of guys that have met their wives online.
Yes, because you can actually
link up. I can think
of
two people right off the top of my head, and I'm not going to say their names. But
would Peter Schwartz be with his wife if they met on an app, knowing that he's a Jet fan, she's a Giant fan,
right,
he's an Islander
right
fan? I'll bet you he probably scrolls right by her, not because of what she
right
looks like or
right
anything of that
right
nature,
right,
but because of her interests.
Right, right.
Like, you've got a great eye. But I'm just saying, you're talking about that song is about putting an ad in a newspaper.
Right.
Looking for something or someone.
But that's like songs from like the 80s or
right,
you know, late 70s.
All right, but the 80s is not 1910 either.
No.
It's not that long ago, and that's how much it's changed.
It is a different world in the 80s than it is now.
We have advanced technologically so rapidly that you're absolutely right. I'm not saying that. By tomorrow, who knows? You might
right
snap a finger and you could have a woman. Hell, you could go. We were talking about this the other day. You go to a Vegas hotel and the concierge will give you glasses and you can have virtual sex with someone. I mean, things have changed.
What? wait a minute. You can go to a hotel. You got to be kidding me. You can go to a hotel in Vegas.
Yes.
And I don't know how you have well, I guess I can understand how you do, but nevertheless, and he'll give you glasses and you can have virtual sex with somebody?
That was a story we did on the podcast a few years ago.
What?
That you can rent, or they will give you those Nocula, whatever the host,
right,
those things
right
are.
Right.
And yeah. And it's like virtual reality. I mean, that's where we're at right now.
Oh my God.
And then what is the deal?
I think
with
I know a lot of guys that would probably be the only way they were getting any.
It might be.
Won't mention it.
My point is, in 30 years or so, we have really advanced from where we were
that's
in the
advancement
80s to where we are now. I mean, it is. Yeah. It is crazy.
I miss the, like I say, I always miss the days of the payphones.
Yeah, I know. One of the weirder things you've ever said.
But well, yes. No, it's not. I don't miss
payphones.
It's the time.
Well, it's a much simpler time.
Much better time.
In a lot of ways.
Yes, you could get away with a lot more.
It's weird to... I suppose so.
Oh, yeah.
It also was simpler in that you didn't have the devices on you.
Right.
Nothing was complicated. And while everything is easier now, we have complicated our lives more.
Oh,
I think in some ways.
No question.
That's for sure. I know we don't have a lot of time on it, but just quickly. The Lions and Giants played again yesterday in these scrimmages
where
we don't want anybody to get hurt. Yes, tomorrow night. We don't want anybody to get hurt in the preseason. Did you see some of the video by any chance from yesterday's?
Did they have a fight again?
They have a fight again. Devin Singletary was, and God bless him, they were going after Malik Nabers a little bit too much from everything I read from the videos I saw.
Right.
And man, this Devin Singletary comes out because they were, I mean, these guys are swinging and they're hitting each other. I know that helmets are padded, but they're taking swings at one another. It got violent.
Wow.
And I know, again, they're trying not to tackle. It's a shoulder into the body. It's almost like two-hand touch football more so. But it does get quite physical. And while I don't think anybody got hurt yesterday, you can't sit there and tell me that we can't. Jordan Love's going to play for the Packers this weekend.
Is he really?
You can't tell me that getting out there to kind of get ready for the season isn't as dangerous as what these guys are going through in these joint scrimmages. Yeah. Because even the Jets are killing each other in practice yesterday.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a...
Look, Dan Campbell's a very feisty coach, too, so...
Oh, he is in his team, and his team replicates what he is.
Yep.
You know, they play... You know, that first... There have been a lot of press conferences we've sat there and looked at, and we have made fun of them. We have mocked them. A couple come to mind, of course. You've got your guy Crazy Eyes with the Jets. What the hell was his name? The wacko who's following the butterflies. What was his name, Eddie? The
Adam
former
Gaze.
Dolphin guy? Right.
Oh, you're talking about the coach.
Yeah.
Adam Gaze following the butterflies.
Well, because his eyes were all over the place in the press conference, and then you had the people on video making those videos up.
Right.
You had that. You had the Mickey Callaway press conference.
Oh, God.
That was one of the
disaster. Please.
One of the worst press conferences.
How did they hire that guy?
I don't know.
Because they hosed Carlos Beltran. Because the writers decided to make Carlos Beltran, you know, the poster boy
wasn't
for
Beltran
the cheating.
Wasn't Beltran after that?
No. That wasn't Beltran. They hired Callaway over Beltran. I'm pretty sure it was. Am I right?
Because Beltran had the job.
Or did they hire Buck? No, I think it was Beltran.
What? Beltran?
Maybe I'm wrong. So I think they gave it to Callaway over Beltran.
If you remember, maybe I have this wrong.
No, I think
Beltran was hired.
The one who replaced Beltran was the one who gave your kid the ball.
Who's that?
Was Rojas. Luis Rojas.
Oh, Rojas. That's right. Now he's the third base coach for the Yankees. What a terrible manager he was.
Yes, I understand.
He was terrible. Mickey Callaway was a disaster.
Anyhow, Callaway was a mess. We understand
Rojas was just terrible.
When you get to the Dan Campbell press conference.
Thank you, Ed.
He came in talking about, and I'm not making this up.
Right.
I mean, he came in about talking about knocking guys down, biting off their kneecaps, and playing this physical brand of football that we've never seen before. And you've got a team. I mean, you saw them in the playoffs last year, and you saw them get better and better and better through the season.
Blew the championship game, but
they did. But they're a good team, and a lot of it is what he's done and the attitude and the. I know we use this word way too much now, but the culture that's there in Detroit now.
Yes, I hate that word.
And his team does look the part of their coach.
Yes.
I'm not saying that all of this happened yesterday because of Dan Campbell by any stretch, but this is a very chippy team, and you see it. And then you've got these practices. Now they're going to go out and play each other. I mean, you're talking about two teams that came in ready to see another team. Now they're seeing each other 3 days in a row, 3 out of 4 days, whatever. I mean, it's a tough sport. It's a tough game. And that's why, to me, just you play and whatever happens, happens. There's nothing you can do about it. So, I don't know. I thought it was very
Could you imagine, though, seriously. And look, I'm kind of mixed whether Rodgers should play in a preseason or not. But it would be so jet-like, okay? Let's be honest about it. If Rodgers played in a preseason and got hurt again. I mean, this is the Jets. This is the kind of stuff that what happened last year.
You couldn't script it.
There's only one franchise in sports that what happened last year with Rodgers could happen to.
It's the Jets.
And that's the Jets.
Yeah.
There's nobody else.
Vinny 2.0.
Nobody.
All over again.
It's a big difference, though, with Vinny.
It is,
because
but
Vinny
it's very
similar.
Because
Vinny had already done something. He played for, you know, he already but given us something and all of that.
But expectation-wise,
right.
The guy that you thought that could lead you there at the quarterback position, first game of what was supposed to be a big season, it was very Vinny. And different circumstances, but very similar.
Yeah.
At least.
And Vinny was that. How about the fact they trotted Vinny out there?
Yeah, I know.
I mean, come on.
I know. That was part of it, too.
Yeah.
Anyhow, we're that close to the start of the football season.
They don't get it to people that run
preseason,
the Jets.
Preseason tomorrow night
they really
for the
don't.
Giants and then Saturday for the Jets. Take a quick break. We get Peter back in for another update. It is Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, Built Ford Tough Studio right here on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. Don't go away.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo. The mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
All right, coming back. Bill Ford Tough Studio.
Is this the theme here now? This is the theme because this is now another situation.
Different story.
What is this? R.W. Stevenson? Is that this guy who sings this?
R.B. Greaves.
R.B. Greaves, okay. And this is where he basically, his wife is having an affair with another guy.
Right? I see the theme now.
And he winds up with the secretary. And it's take a letter, Maria, and eventually he asks her to go out to dinner, right? So this is kind of the
theme. Take her clothes off.
Well, this is kind of the theme, right? You got a theme going here, Ed?
Well, this is Al's theme, but oh. He...
Right, Al, was this kind of the backup to Rupert Holmes here?
I thought of take a letter, Maria.
R.B. Greaves,
right after
right.
that. Yeah.
And by the way, my friend Dan Kane checking, and Rupert Holmes is not... That's not his. That's a stage name.
Oh, really?
His real name is David Goldstein.
Oh, okay.
I did check on that. And so it made me think, like, how many of these other guys have stage names?
Oh, God.
The one that comes to mind, I'm like, it can't be his real name, is Mick Jagger.
You don't think that's his real name?
You know what Mick Jagger's real name is?
Mick Jagger?
No. I mean, it's his nickname. His real name is Michael Philip Jagger.
Oh, wow.
Well, why not go with Mike? Mick?
Nah, Mick is better. He's much more a Mick than a Mike.
Very interesting, though.
You know?
Like Bob Dylan.
Bob's Robert Zimmerman.
Right. Correct. So yeah. I'm sure there's... Yeah. I don't know if they do that anymore.
I think he just sold his catalog.
Well, that was also used to be in radio, too.
I think Dylan sold his catalog for like $300 million.
A lot.
Like
and there's a movie coming out or a...
document.
Right. It's a feature film, right? Coming out December 25th.
And an actor's playing him. And supposedly, he does the singing as well, the actor.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah.
Because I heard in one of the trailers, it sounded pretty good.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was actually
that
Dylan's...
That would be worth singing.
...tracks or not, so...
But Joe, you'd agree, take a letter, Maria, much more believable scenario than...
Oh, there's no question about it. Oh,
but do you
100%.
Not think that that doesn't happen?
100%.
Where two people in the past have put ads out there and show up and...
It's not the past, it's his girlfriend
that's
now.
Happened. No, no, I understand.
I can
I'm
see
saying,
if it
no,
was
no, no,
somebody
no, no,
from
no,
20
no.
years ago, when
I
that's
say
different.
The, well, no. What I mean by the past is no one's putting ads in a newspaper today. I meant in the
no,
past.
No, I understand that.
That's the
it.
Way you did it.
Right.
Wouldn't shock me if that's really happened in real life.
Now they go on Tinder, right? Is that what it is? Tinder?
I suppose so.
Yeah.
But at least there's supposedly the picture is supposed to be on there. No? You've been on Tinder or no? You're married. No.
Yeah,
either
man.
You two? No,
Tinder?
Right?
No.
Al, you never did Tinder?
No.
Never even thought about it?
No. Back when I was looking for dates, Match.com was a big one.
Oh, Match.com.
I did do Match.com.
Right. Okay.
That wasn't terrible.
Well, yeah, was it good?
That's what I was saying.
I'd be worried, though, that, like you said, Pete, the pictures... That somebody else is putting a picture up, either like from 25 years ago or a picture that's not even them. You know, you gotta, right?
Well,
that
pictures
happens.
Are very deceiving.
Yeah, of course.
As you know,
so my dear friend Larry, he met his wife Susan on a dating website.
Right.
Not Tinder. Not Tinder.
Right. It's
a Jewish dating website.
J Date.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yes. So
his name's down, Joe.
His
what? You got all these names down.
Well, I knew some people that were using that.
My friend Larry's huge sports fan.
Right, right.
Susan does not know anything about sports, but they somehow, it all worked out, right? His screen name on J-Date was Jetman.
Okay.
He loves the Jets.
Right.
She thought he was a pilot. That's why she answered.
And he wound up marrying it. And even when she found out he wasn't a pilot.
A long time now.
She's a Jet fan now, too?
Probably. Yeah, well, yeah, by marriage. But, right. I mean, she fell asleep at a World Series.
Serious question for you. Guys, I mentioned this to Joe before.
Yeah.
Because I think these apps are good in that you can really find common interests and maybe things will be great for a lot of years to come. If you were looking at Cheryl's profile on one of these apps and saw Ranger fan... Met fan, would you have just moved on? I'm serious.
You probably would have, right?
I mean, you know, where now you got kids, you would say no, but think about that time if you're looking for common interest in someone you're going to spend time with.
I could, you might have moved right on. I could see where. Well, I mean, it depends. I don't know.
Interesting. You might have moved for
Let's put it this way. No.
You said you'd rather jab your eyes out with a needle than go watch the Rangers.
But I don't think Cheryl would have put Rangers down because, like, hockey is so far down on her. Like, you get my point.
Right, yeah.
I can see where people would not want to be bothered. Yes,
exactly.
I could see that.
All right, those are the wonderful voices of Peter Schwartz. Takeaway, what do you got?
How did you pronounce my last name?
Peter Schwartz. Peter Schwartz.
That's a new way of saying it.
Sorry, we'll get to it.
Brought to you by the Farmer's Dog, fresh human grade dog food delivered right to your door, and brought to you by Jack Pocket. Order official state lottery games on your phone. We begin at Coors Field. The Mets opening up a series with the Rockies.
Diaz hits a hard ground ball, base hit going into center. Hilliard rounds third. He scores. Tolia goes first to third. And Diaz with a big hit for the Rockies. RBI single up the middle. It is now 6-3 Colorado in the bottom of
the
eighth.
Turn out the lights.
By the way, Pete, I just want to jump in.
Late in this game.
I want to jump in because I just saw this play Iglesias made, throwing a guy out at the plate.
Yeah,
Iglesias is tremendous.
Very good play.
This guy has been tremendous for the Mets.
Mm-hmm.
He really has.
OMG.
OMG. Yep. That's right.
Yep. Do you have the shirt yet?
No.
No.
OMG shirt?
Yeah.
No, I would never get that.
You would never get that?
I'm only into, like, I want, you know, I want the Mets and the name of the guy.
Yeah.
You know how I am.
I think they're giving that shirt away. I think they're giving that shirt away at a game.
Why not?
Coming up. Yeah. Do you like the song?
I have not heard the song.
You have not heard the song? I mean,
oh, my God.
No, I haven't heard it. You want to pop it on? Eddie, at some point, let me hear OMG. I can't believe you've never heard the song.
Are you aware that he performed it after a win?
No, I am.
Yeah.
But I'm aware of all of that, but I don't know the song. I mean, it does.
Here we go.
This is it?
It's pretty good, actually. Very catchy.
It's going in a good direction.
Oh, my God.
You can dance to this, Joe. And he did this in All-Star Weekend, too.
I could do my Victor Cruz salsa to this.
He did this with the night of the home run derby, right?
Yeah.
I'm a Yankee fan, and I like the song.
No, it's not bad.
Not bad at all.
I love Iglesias. I mean, you know.
Keep playing well.
Yeah, that was Keith Rad with that highlight on
WCBS. Oh, my God! Not bad. Oh, my God!
Who's that oh, my God in there?
Really?
Mike.
Oh, the pain. Oh, my God. Oh, the pain.
Wait, hold on a second, Pete. Hold on. Chris in Massapequa, explain yourself, please.
All right, Jerry and Joe, let me tell you something. I had a friend of mine who's not the best-looking guy,
right,
but he's a nice guy. He went on a dating app. I think it was Bumble. And
Bumble.
He used my picture for his dating app.
Did you notice that he was doing this?
I had no idea. All I know is all around my job, it was known that Chris is going out cheating on his wife, and then my wife found out, and the hell went down. I moved out of my house for 4 days. I was in hotels.
So wait a minute.
Wow, I'm confused.
So let's review. Okay, here, Chris. So your buddy, unbeknownst to you, because he's not as good looking a guy as you are, obviously, decides to use your picture on a dating app. Okay.
Yeah.
And people find out about this. Your wife, her girlfriend. What's that? Who found out? Oh, your wife's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Oh, that's dangerous right there. So your wife's girlfriend finds out about this picture, tells your wife. Your wife's now livid because you are now looking for another woman, and you had to move out for 4 days, and you did nothing wrong.
I had to move out for 4 days because she thought I was using a different alias to use a different name, and I had to move out for 4 days until I had my friend, so-called friend, not anymore, go to my house and explain to her what he did wrong.
Wow.
Now, how was your wife
after the explanation to you?
I was not allowed to have a lock on my phone for about a good 6 months.
Wow.
Everything, so
you did nothing wrong. Absolutely.
I didn't even know how and to get on a dating app if you paid me.
And your wife still didn't believe that you did nothing
I
wrong.
I would tell you this, Joe.
Right?
Am I right about that? But in fairness, Chris, would you not agree that it's probably, and I know you didn't do it, it's probably more likely that you're using your picture with a fake name? Because when you show
that's
up,
what she thought.
But the guy didn't do anything.
I know he didn't do anything, but you're asking why she didn't believe him. The more believable thing is that it's your, because when you show up to the date to meet the other woman, you want to be a different looking guy. As he said, he's ugly.
So
you show up, then what?
Chris, yeah, let me ask you something. Did this buddy or ex-buddy of yours, did he wind up getting a date with your picture?
No, the girl showed up and said, "Are you joking me?" and left.
Right.
And then he tried it two more times, and then he uses the term, looks doesn't always matter. And then he says, it's my best way to get in touch with a girl. That's how he operated.
Wow. You got to be desperate.
And on top of that, he thought he wasn't wrong. He said, listen, I'm not, good looking as other people, so I had this way, my only way to meet girls. But
I got you.
Yeah, that, you were doing well till there.
I understand
terrible.
He did nothing wrong.
Nothing.
But I'm telling you, from the other side, it looks more believable that it would have been.
How about this guy?
What a creep, huh?
No, but let me ask you, what kind of guy?
A creep.
And doesn't even tell him that he's using the picture.
That's rough.
I mean, what are
not
you kidding
only that,
me?
But to your point from before, if you put a different photo down and then you show up as this ugly guy or ugly gal,
what
are you accomplishing? Nothing.
Right.
Man.
Right.
What is this? Sorry if you had to take that.
No, though. It's like saying, yeah, I'm a great quarterback and you show up for a tryout and you can't throw the ball.
Yeah, I had a blind date once. Only one in my life, okay? Right? Blind date, okay? It's funny, because I had the blind date. I met my wife. I met Terry on a Friday, okay? I had this blind date set up with this girl on a Sunday, okay?
Okay.
And she lived in Brooklyn, because at the time I was a food salesman. I used to go all over the place. I was in Brooklyn. I was everywhere, right? So she was in Brooklyn, and this girl who I actually wanted to date, who I had met as a salesman out there, she was a salesperson. No, she goes, I got the perfect girl for you. So she gives me a phone number. I talk to this girl on the phone as well, right? I go all the way to freaking Brooklyn. And this girl, she was okay, but she, what a zero. Like, from Brooklyn, I come back to the Village, right, to take her out to dinner in the Village here, okay, right? I could not wait to get rid of this girl. I mean, this girl had the personality of a pea. and I'll never forget after that, I told this guy, this girl, her name was Rose, the girl that I really wanted to go out with, right, who set me up with this girl. I saw her. I'm like, what did you do? This girl? Oh, my God.
Common interest whatsoever, huh?
Oh, bro, it's not even that. She had nothing. Give me something. You know what I mean, Jerry? I mean, if I got to do the entire conversation, that's a problem.
I'm sure this has happened so many times with people going on blind dates or with these website dates where you have nothing in common or you're not interesting.
Yeah.
And people can't wait to leave.
Brooklyn.
That's why
I wouldn't go to Brooklyn now unless you give me a helicopter.
That's why coffee might be a better start.
Coffee?
Yeah, meet for coffee.
Yeah.
And then if you got something in common, maybe you stretch it to dinner.
Well, that's how I roll.
I know.
Bro.
I'm get
that's
it.
That's a long schlep from New Jersey to
but
Brooklyn.
Think about how much time and money you spent on a zero
date. But it's funny because I had met Terry two nights before this ridiculously brutal blind date. So
I couldn't wait to get back to her.
Well, it didn't take long.
It all worked out.
Thank God.
So Yankees rained out last night. Doubleheader, straight doubleheader today. Single admission, 4:00 against the Angels. White Sox end the 21-game losing streak. Beat the A's 5-1. But after the game, former White Sox manager Ozzie Guillen called into the White Sox post-game show on NBC Sports Chicago.
It's over.
It's over. Are you calling because the Sox finally won a game?
Who called in?
Yeah, I know. I just wanted to call you guys.
Yeah. You go to bed.
I as well do.
Sleep tight. We'll see you tomorrow, okay?
Say that. Sleeping tight and happiness.
Sleeping tight and happiness.
You know, I think you could make a case that the White Sox fan is the most loyal fan in sports. You can make that
case. For however many are left, sure.
Because everybody's a Cub fan as it is in Chicago, right? And I just, I mean, they're a woebegone franchise. It's been around since, you know, obviously the Black Sox scandal, you know?
Yeah.
What a disaster.
And they loved them in whatever year it was, 02, 03, 04, whatever it was.
They won the year after the Red Sox won the first time.
Right. So, I mean, they have had their moment at least, but they are few and far
between. That's 20 years ago now. It's 19 years ago now.
I'm aware.
Terrible.
Yep.
Get to the fighting Giants and Jets. More fighting at Giants-Lions combined practice yesterday. Lions head coach Dan Campbell, not a fan of this.
When you have to stop practice that many times to reset the drill and load it, it's just it's a waste of everybody's time, you know? And, look, I don't want those. That's not what it's about. And I know Dave's doesn't want it. We've talked about it, you know, address it with the players and – you know, that's part of the balance is, man, how do you really, really push yourself to compete at the highest level, but you got to keep your composure.
It just seems like in all these combined practices, there's always fights.
Yeah, so all the time.
Why do they have them? Why have them?
Yeah, I don't know.
Especially you're going to play them. Right, like, you're going to play them Thursday night. Like, right. You really need it?
Like, I don't get it. I remember, like, years ago, the Jets, Al and I were talking about it on the warm-up show. The Jets and Giants had a combined practice in Albany.
I remember this the Giants. One. This had, was a melee.
That was amazing. Because remember, they had two fields. They had the main stadium field, and they had like a backfield.
Mm-hmm.
And the fighting started on the backfield, and then they were switching places, and they got to the main field, and it was like haywire.
Right.
Like, why would
was
you
this
have
when
it?
Rex was there?
No, Herm.
Was before
Herm. Herm.
Okay.
Herm.
Herm. Okay.
It was Herm. So this is like you know. Early 2000s, yeah.
02.
Yeah.
Yeah. 04.
Might have been 04, because I think I was up there for that with the Giants, and you were with the other station for the Jets, I think.
Yes, yes. So it was 04.
I've known you for 20 years, too.
Yeah. They've always had
the week before my wedding.
They always have these practices against teams they're not playing during the year, though. Right? These scrimmages. You never scrimmage in a team you're going to play during the season. I don't think.
Well,
right? I don't think so.
I think there's once in a while you wind up playing a team. The Jets and Giants every 4 years.
Yeah, but I'm saying that particular year they weren't playing each other. That's my point.
No, it was just set up between the coaches.
Right, right.
I don't understand why you would do that. Even in like this situation, the Jets have a combined practice with Washington.
Right, they're playing them Saturday.
Why would you do that? I don't understand. Does Boomer ever bring that up? Does he address like why do they have it?
Don't know.
Happening when Boomer was playing.
Boomer was doing two-a-days and sweating his nuts off.
Right. Right.
9 o'clock and 3 o'clock.
That's right. Exactly right.
Two-a-days.
Yeah. On concrete fields with a carpet over it.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anything else?
I got that's it.
All right. Then we will see you next hour.
You got it.
Good job, Pete.
Another brilliant job.
When we come back, something from yesterday that sent me into the YouTube world because of Joe. I will get to that. And we will also get to, at the top of the hour, just Jalen Brunson quickly named captain. We've got more on the baseball, more on the football
Nick
as
captains.
Well. That's exactly right.
We'll
rank them. No, I'm kidding. Coming up at 8.
Yeah, right. Let's rank Lance Thomas, number one.
Then CBS Sports Network.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Tony Orlando, huh? Gone.
Just the one with the knocking. Yeah.
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 Anything else you want to talk about the song?
No, it's all right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Tony, you have a story
Orlando
for every song.
Gone. I am not getting excited about it. No.
Oh, this one doesn't work for you?
You like this song, Al?
Yeah, I like Tony Orlando. I like this. I like Candida.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Tony, I mean, look, like I said, if you like it, you like it. I've been never a big Tony Orlando guy. You like this, Eddie?
Was this also he was knocking on the pipes for the woman downstairs?
Yeah. Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me. Right. Twice on the pipes if the answer is no.
It was just continuing the whole relationship.
Yes,
thing.
I understand. I get that.
Oh, we might as well at 10 o'clock. What the hell?
Right. He could have done the one where, you know, he just got out of prison.
Oh, that one,
are we
too.
Still
that's
on?
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Hey, to be honest, I'm not sure what's more interesting, this or the Mets. Quite frankly, this is.
Right now, the Mets aren't too interesting when they lose to the Rockies.
Well, that is true. That is true. I just sound the music, and I'll get back to the calls in a second. Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. No, only because yesterday, I think a caller asked you if you could, maybe it was Al, I don't know, someone asked you if you could have one album.
I said Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys.
So when I went home and I finally got settled with everything last night and sat down at like 4:30, I went to YouTube. I'm like, when I start to do things around the house, I was cleaning the office is what I was doing, and I like to put music on. So I go to YouTube and I always put concerts on or things like that as background noise. But before I did that, I pulled up, let me see Pet Sounds, because I used to have the album. Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't say that. My parents used to have the album.
Right. You're not that familiar with it, or are you familiar
with the cover of the album for sure? But if you asked me what songs were on it, I would not have known.
Okay.
Other than I know it's a historic album. Okay.
Wouldn't it be nice, Sloop John B, just for a couple?
No. So I expected to see all songs I knew, it was a greatest hits album.
No.
I was surprised how many I didn't know that were on it.
No, yeah, it's not a greatest hits album.
It's not at all. So I'm surprised. God Only Knows, which might be one of my favorite Beat Force songs, is on it.
Yep.
But I did not realize how many were on it that weren't popular, and surprising that that's what you would have picked as the only album you could ever hear again.
Yeah. No, it's a tremendous, because it's great. I mean, it's their best album as far as I'm concerned. They're awesome. So like I said, you mentioned God Only Knows. Wouldn't It Be Nice? Sloop John B. I don't know if people are familiar with Brian Wilson's Caroline, though. I guess those are the big, really known songs on the album. But it's, I look at that album almost as one continual piece of music. That's how I look at it.
Like the 13 songs combined for one, essentially, you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're all different songs, but they kind of all kind of flow together. Do you understand what I mean?
Like they tell a story.
And it's funny you say that. You know something funny? I'm going to tell you something funny because you thought it was a greatest hits album. Okay, so
I did.
So here's how I first got this album. I think it was 1966 it came out. And I loved the Beach Boys, right? So my father was still alive. We're down at the Jersey Shore. We're down at Seaside, right? And we're on the boardwalk, when we're playing the different games and stuff, right? And they had one of these, I don't know what it was. I guess it was a wheel that spins.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all the albums. It was all an album thing. And I'm like, oh, I got to, because I'm all into this music. I got to try. So anyway, we actually win, right? And they had the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds album. Now, I was not familiar with this album at all.
Okay.
And I thought, just like you, that it was a greatest hits album. That's what I thought.
Mm.
So I got it. And then when I got home and I'm playing, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just looking at the songs on it.
What is this? What is that?
And it turns out to be one of the greatest albums of all time.
Mm.
And
you got it by chance.
And I got it by chance.
Well, that's how I got involved with listening to Bob Dylan. At a flea market when I was 15 years old,
right.
I saw cassettes in a flea market bin for $1. I'm like, I've heard of Bob Dylan. So I bought the greatest hits cassette.
Which one? The first one?
Yeah.
The one with Like a Rolling Stone and all that.
And I remember putting it on when I got home, I put it on the tape recorder. I'm like, I knew four or five of the songs. I'm like, I know this guy. And that's how I started listening to
Do you have Greatest Hits Volume 2, the double album?
No, I have Volume 3.
Okay.
I don't think I have 2. I don't know.
Get 2. Two starts out with Stuck Inside of Mobile.
With the Memphis Blues again,
which I think is his best song ever.
It was a great song. Well, the Hurricane's tremendous. Pretty good, too. There's a lot of good...
There's a million of them, but that song, to me, just, Look, there's a million. Lay, Lady, Lay, Like a Rolling Stone is tremendous.
Tangled Up in Blue, I think, might be his best song.
Well...
I love that song.
That might be his best album.
Great song. Okay.
Blood on the Tracks is the album.
Okay.
And that might be his best album. That is a great album.
Maybe.
Simple Twist of Fate, You're a Big Girl Now... I mean, tremendous.
Back to the Beach Boys,
Idiot
though.
Wind.
On YouTube, they give you suggestions based off what you're watching.
Right.
So it suggested Beach Boys, Washington, D.C., 1980.
Okay.
There had to have been 150,000 people at this thing. It was on the lawn.
Yeah, wasn't it outside?
Put that on.
Yeah.
It was
like the Lincoln Memorial or something like that. Right.
Phenomenal. They had a couple of overhead shots.
Uh-huh.
It was just, when they do it at Central Park sometimes?
Yeah.
And you see the sea of people.
Was Brian Wilson part of it? Do you know?
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah. Okay.
It's funny. I had it on YouTube. I wasn't watching it, though, because I was cleaning up.
Right.
That's a good question now. I think he was. I think it certainly sounded like
it. I think the brothers were still alive. I think Dennis and Carl were definitely still alive in 1980.
Yeah, I think this was May or June of 80.
Okay.
I forget what the date was. It was pretty interesting, though.
Okay.
Steve in Tom's River. What's up, Steve?
Steve, how are you?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Good morning.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, so I just want to comment on the joint practices. So the reason why they have those is in a world where they don't do preseason games anymore with the starters, the players and coaches feel like they get the most value out of it because they get to see defenses, where the preseason's a little bit more vanilla. They do kind of base defenses. They show them blitz looks. They show them different looks. If you listen to your fearless leader, Aaron Rodgers, he said the players get 10 times more value out of them, obviously, if they're not fighting, but... That's the reason why they do them is they get a lot more out of them and the starters get some run.
Our fearless leader, Aaron Rodgers.
He is
amazing.
Your leader,
guy has done absolutely diddly squat yet with the franchise, and he's the fearless leader.
Yeah, I know what he's saying, and I'm sure he's right on everything he just said. But I mean, stuff's on film anyway. This whole notion that the NFL is so clandestine. They have stuff on every player. Of course. They've got multiple guys on staff that are looking through tendencies and plays and situations. To me, it's about injury. Like, that to me is what it's about more than anything. And you've got these scrimmages where things get really heated, really violent, and really physical. Anybody can get injured anywhere. It's just the way it is. And yet we continue to do these things. So, and, or not do these things in terms of guys playing or not playing. But what are you going to do? That's kind of the way it goes. Yeah.
It's the Morning Show with Boomer and Geo.
Tony Orlando, huh?
Gone.
Just the one with the time.
Knocking. Yeah.
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 Anything else you want to talk about the song?
No, it's you know, it's all right.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you have a story for every song. So
I am not getting excited about it. No.
Oh, this one doesn't work for you?
You like this song, Al?
Yeah, I like Tony Orlando. I like this. I like Candida.
Okay. All right. That's cool. Tony, I mean, look, like I said, if you like it, you like it. I've been never a big Tony Orlando guy. You like this, Eddie?
Was this also he was knocking on the pipes to for the woman downstairs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Knock three times on the ceiling if you want me. Right. Twice on the pipes if the answer is no.
It was just continuing the whole relationship.
Yes,
thing.
I understand. I get that.
Oh, we might as well at 10 o'clock. What the hell?
Right. He could have done the one where, you know, he just got out of prison.
Oh, that one,
are we
too.
Still
that's
on?
Tie a yellow ribbon around the old oak tree.
Hey, to be honest, I'm not sure what's more interesting, this or the Mets. Quite frankly, this is.
Right now, the Mets aren't too interesting when they lose to the Rockies.
Well, that is true. That is true. I just on the music, and I'll get to back to the calls in a second. Joe and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo. No, only because yesterday, I think a caller asked you if you could, maybe it was Al, I don't know, someone asked you if you could have one album.
I said Pet Sounds by the Beach Boys.
So when I went home and I finally got settled with everything last night and sat down at like 4:30, I went to YouTube. I'm like, I actually, when I start to do things around the house, I was cleaning the office is what I was doing, and I like to put music on. So I go to YouTube and I always put concerts on or things like that as background noise. But before I did that, I pulled up, let me see Pet Sounds, because I used to have the album. Mm-hmm. Well, I shouldn't say it. My parents used to have the album.
Right. You're so not that familiar with it? Are you familiar
with the cover of the album for sure, but with if you asked me what songs were on it, I would not have known.
Okay.
Other than I know it's a historic album.
Okay. Wouldn't it be nice, Sloop John B, just for a couple?
No. So I expected to see like all songs I knew, like it was a greatest hits album.
No.
I was surprised how many I didn't know that were on it.
No, yeah, it's not a greatest hits album.
It's not at all. So I'm surprised. God Only Knows, which might be one of my favorite Beat Force songs, is on it.
Yep.
But I did not realize how many were on it that weren't popular, and surprising that that's what you would have picked as the only album you could ever hear again.
Yeah. No, it's a tremendous, because it's great. I mean, it's their best album as far as I'm concerned. There are some, so like I said, you know, you mentioned God Only Knows, Wouldn't It Be Nice, Sloop John B. I don't know if people are familiar with Brian Wilson's Caroline, though. I guess those are the big, you know, the really known songs on the album. But it's, you know, I look at that album almost as like one continual piece of music. That's how I look at it.
Like the 13 songs combined for one, essentially, you're saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, they're all different songs, but they, you know, they kind of all kind of flow together. Do you understand what I mean?
Like they tell a story.
And it's funny you say that. You know something funny? I'm going to tell you something funny because you thought it was a greatest hits album. Okay. So
I did.
So here's how I first got this album. I think it was 1966 it came out. And I loved the Beach Boys, right? So my father was still alive. We're down at the Jersey Shore. We're down at Seaside, right? And we're on the boardwalk, you know, when we're playing the different games and stuff, right? And they had one of these, I don't know what it was. I guess it was a wheel that spins.
Mm-hmm.
And they had all the albums. It was all an album thing. And I'm like, oh, I got to, because I'm, you know, I'm all into this music. I got to try. So anyway, we actually win, right? And they had the Beach Boys' Pet Sounds album. Now, I was not familiar with this album at all.
Okay.
And I thought, just like you, that it was a greatest hits album. That's what I thought.
Mm.
So I got it. And then when I got home and I'm playing, I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just looking at the songs on it.
What is this? What is that?
And it turns out to be one of the greatest albums of all time.
Mm.
You know, so
and you got it by chance.
And I got it by chance. If you, yeah.
Well, that's how I got involved with listening to Bob Dylan. At a flea market when I was 15 years old,
right.
I saw cassettes in a flea market bin for $1. I'm like, I've heard of Bob Dylan. So I bought the greatest hits cassette.
Which one? The first one?
Yeah.
The one with Like a Rolling Stone and all that.
And I remember putting it on when I got home, I put it on the tape recorder. I'm like, I knew four or five of the songs. I'm like, I know this guy. And that's how I started listening to
Do you have Greatest Hits Volume 2, the double album?
No, I have Volume 3.
Okay.
I don't think I have two. I don't know.
Get two. Two starts out with Stuck Inside of Mobile
with the Memphis Blues again,
which I think is his best song ever.
It was a great song. Well, the Hurricanes pretty good, too. There's a lot of good.
No, there's a million of them, but that song to me just, you know, look, there's a million. Lay, Lady, Lay, Like a Rolling Stone is tremendous. You know,
Tangled Up in Blue, I think, might be his best song.
Well,
I love that song.
That might be his best album.
Great song. Okay.
Blood on the Tracks is the album.
Okay.
And that might be his best album. That is a great album.
Maybe.
Simple Twist of Fate, You're a Big Girl Now. I mean, it's tremendous.
Back to the Beach Boys,
Idiot
though.
Wind.
On YouTube, they give you suggestions based off what you're watching.
Right.
So it suggested Beach Boys, Washington, D.C., 1980.
Okay.
There had to have been 150,000 people at this thing. It was like on the lawn.
Yeah, wasn't it outside? Like,
wow. Buddy, I put that on. Yeah. It was
like the Lincoln Memorial or something like that.
Right. Phenomenal. They had a couple of overhead shots. Uh-huh. It was just, you know, when they do it at Central Park sometimes?
Yeah.
And you see the sea of people.
Was Brian Wilson part of it? Do you know?
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, it's funny. I had it on YouTube. I wasn't watching it, though, because I was cleaning up.
Right.
That's a good question now. I think he was. I think it certainly sounded like it.
I think the brothers were still alive. I think Dennis and Carl were definitely still alive in 1980.
Yeah, I think this was May or June of 80.
Okay.
I forget what the date was. It was pretty interesting, though.
Okay.
Steve in Tom's River. What's up, Steve?
Steve, how are you?
Hey, what's happening, guys? Good morning.
What's up, Steve?
Hey, so I just want to comment on the joint practices. So the reason why they have those is in a world where they don't do preseason games anymore with the starters, the players and coaches feel like they get the most value out of it because they get to see defenses, you know, where the preseason's a little bit more vanilla. They do kind of base defenses. They show them blitz looks. They show them different looks. You know, if you listen to your fearless leader, Aaron Rodgers, he said the players get 10 times more value out of them, obviously, if they're not fighting. But that's the reason why they do them is they get a lot more out of them and the starters get some run.
Our fearless leader, Aaron Rodgers.
He is
amazing.
Leader,
guy has done absolutely diddly squat yet with the franchise, and he's the fearless leader.
Yeah, I know what he's saying, and I'm sure he's right on everything he just said. But, I mean, stuff's on film anyway. This whole notion that the NFL is so clandestine. They have stuff on every player.
Of course.
They've got multiple guys on staff that are looking through tendencies and plays and situations. To me, it's about injury. Like, that to me is what it's about more than anything. And you've got these scrimmages where things get really heated, really violent, and really physical. Anybody can get injured anywhere. It's just the way it is. And yet we continue to do these things. So, or not do these things in terms of guys playing or not playing. But what are you going to do? That's kind of the way it goes. Yeah.